everybody. Welcome to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I could hear you the whole time. We could hear you the whole time, buddy.
There we go. I'm just trying to pull up my notes.
This is a great start to episode 2, part 2.
Part 2. Man. All right.
All right, we're already a minute in. You gotta love a re-recording, man.
It's like we got to just start on over again. Act like we didn't do anything. No.
We didn't do anything. We didn't talk about this already.
Nope. This is all brand new stuff. We were talking
about some great points there.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to behind the scenes of recording something.
Yeah.
All right. Top 5 games of the week. I'll go ahead and start off with some homer games. The Detroit Lions beating the Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving, 23-20. Yeah, that Thanksgiving turkey tastes a little bit better than the past 7 years, man. It just tastes a little bit better than those other 7 years, you know. I mean, it did. Like, it probably still does. I still got some leftovers in the fridge. I haven't had anything to it.
Oh. Yeah, Detroit just seems to always want to choke during Thanksgiving, just like that right there, just like you. It was definitely the Bears this time choking. That was just a blunder of a play calling or clock management there at the end, and that's why he got fired. Oh. And he's back. It's a great start.
This is an awesome start. You're able to fill all that time, right?
Yeah.
And just talking to yourself.
Yeah.
That's what happened when you disconnected with me. I was like, oh no. Now I got to fill time until Kyle connects. And I'm like, I've ran out of stuff to talk about.
We might have had a little bit of dead space right there since I was looking at my notes, not realizing you were gone that whole time. I'm like, man, it got quiet, and then all I hear is like a fountain going. I was like, oh, maybe Alex isn't on his computer. Let me go look. Oh, he's not there anymore. Well, this got awkward. I swear.
So, Alex, who's your number two?
I swear our podcasts aren't that bad. We had a really good one going there, too. We almost finished the whole section, and then it just had to restart.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It's a good old re-recording, my friend.
Yeah, it'll get smoother. It'll get smoother. So let's see. Let's just get into your other 4 games of the week.
I don't want to.
You don't even want to anymore.
I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't want to work anymore. No, it's getting tiring.
Yeah, just going through the same 5 games again.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so number 2, Michigan Wolverines beating the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday. Very unexpected.
Yep.
Very unexpected win.
I don't mind talking about that one again.
For sure.
I don't mind talking about that again.
We
can do it all day.
Out of all the ones we're going to talk about again, we're going to definitely talk about this
one. Yeah, we'll just keep going.
But, I mean, we're just going to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to talk about the other 3 of my top 5?
We just go through them quickly and go right back to it.
All right, and then number 3, number 15, South Carolina taking on number 12, Clemson, beating them 17-14. Yeah, that was a pretty good game, too. It was a great watch that I didn't watch.
South
Carolina. Anyways, number four, the Philadelphia Eagles taking down the Baltimore Ravens 24-19. That was a very good game. That was pretty good watch. I watched a good bit of it with Red Zone. Thank you, Red Zone, for letting me pay for your subscriptions for $5 a month.
Good old Red Zone.
And then Michigan State Spartans giving some love to a whole Sparty down there in East Lansing. Beating the number 12 UNC Tar Heels in basketball, I should say, 94-91 in overtime. That was probably a pretty good win. I didn't watch the game, but just looking at the score, it seemed, I guess, pretty tight all the way to the end, and they had to take an extra inning.
It was a big win for Michigan State because they've kind of struggled this year. They haven't played that great, so that's a good win to have under their belt, at least going into the Big Ten games.
Yeah. All right, your top five. Again.
Let's go to my top five once more. For the first time, let's go through these again. So for the first time, let's go through them again. For my number five, I have Georgia Tech Georgia game. That was a crazy game. Goes into eight overtimes and a bunch of nonsense 2-point conversions for about six overtimes. They need to change that rule. Go back to just straight up overtime until someone wins. Big win for Georgia, though, because if they lost that game, who knows if they would be in the playoffs or not? Because it would come down to Georgia having to win the SEC championship game if they lost that game against Georgia Tech. So it was a big win for them, so they should pretty much automatically secure themselves into the playoffs now, even if with a loss to Texas in their SEC championship game. Let's see, we'll go to four. I got the Steelers over the Bengals. Steelers 44, Bengals 38. Steelers look good, just keep dominating. Poor Joey Boy just keeps losing because their defense is terrible. That'll be another coach fired by the end of the year. Can't waste all that talent there. And Steelers just look good. I mean, Steelers look great. Their defense wins games, and they didn't have to win this one. Russ balls out, and then, yeah, take out a Bengals team. My third team, same as yours. I have the Eagles 24, Ravens 19. Eagles show that they don't need to put up a ton of points to win a game. Their defense has just been outstanding the last, I think, like 6-7 weeks. To be able to hold a Lamar Jackson offense to only 19 points and on the road, win for the Eagles. Well, my second game will be the Syracuse Orange taking out the Miami Hurricanes 42-38, knocking out Miami from going to the ACC championship game, which is huge. So they're just going to be a low-seeded team right now. Since SMU and Clemson are now going to be in that ACC championship game instead of Miami. And then my Michigan overtaking Ohio.
Big factor.
Yep, Michigan taking out Ohio. Good old Ryan Day. Just can't seem to get over the hump of beating Michigan. The frauds of the college football championship right now, Ohio State, the world famous.
Well, you know, if they win the championship, you know that means we essentially won the championship too. Right?
Yeah, we beat them, so it don't even matter. Anything else that happens after this don't even matter. We beat you for the fourth straight year. We beat you, so don't want to hear it. I mean, Ohio State's got to win if they want to keep Ryan. Or, well, I know they don't want to keep. How do Ohio State fans feel right now? Like, do you want to just go ahead and still run the table and win the championship? But if you do, you have to keep Ryan Day now. Or do you just lose in the playoffs and so you can get rid of Ryan Day? Because if they win the championship game, they got to keep Ryan Day at that point.
Or you just get rid of Ryan Day after you win the championship. You're just like,
I don't think they're going to. I mean, how can you? Like, that'd be the first time in history a team fires their head coach after winning a national championship game.
Things can happen.
They should have just fired him right after the. Man. They should have just fired him right after the game. So then your interim coach could win the national championship game. But I divert. Let's go to the top five teams of the week, since we'll be talking about.
All right, my top five. We'll be talking about this all season long.
Yep.
for sure.
We will.
Until the next year comes around.
It'll just be an opening topic.
We got the bragging rights now.
Yeah.
It's 4 years in a row.
A bragging rights.
1,000 and like what?
A bragging rights with a team that should have had no business winning this game. Under our 20-point underdogs with a guy that could throw 60 yards total in a game. Like, come on, Ohio State. Get better. Be better.
Anyways. Be better.
Be better.
Top five teams of the week. My number one is the South Carolina Gamecocks since they took down the Clemson Tigers in their game. And then number two is the Michigan Wolverines for taking down the number two team in the nation.
The world famous.
You know, they at least they were number two. We'll
Not
see
anymore.
What happens tonight since it's Tuesday. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Coming at number three, the Philadelphia Eagles for their win over the Ravens. And then number four is the Buffalo Bills with their big win over the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers aren't that great, but with this win with the Bills, they're looking like they can be a team this season. They're starting to get their things together, their P's and Q's. Like, you know, it's, you know, getting on the grind for them. They're rolling their wheels and they're moving on up. And then at number
five, the Michigan
Wolverines basketball team. The men's, they're doing it. They beat Xavier in the Fort Myers tip-off challenge. Big championship win, in season championship. So I mean,
yes, that was a 25-point win.
That was a huge win.
25 points to a ranked team. Yeah. That's a huge win.
Yep. So that's why they're in my top five teams of the week.
And I wish I had them to mine, but I already have them in there for football. So my top five teams, number five, I'll give it some love to Penn State getting to be in the Big Ten championship game just out of because Ohio State loses, so they're in. You know, you never know. They might surprise somebody and upset Oregon and win the Big Ten championship. It'd be crazy, but I'll give them some love, give them a team of the week since they're one of the teams in the finals. My number four team will give some love to Pittsburgh Steelers because they just look great at the AFC. If I had to put money down right now, I'd almost pick the Steelers to take the AFC instead of the Chiefs. They look more like a complete team than the Chiefs. Their defense looks outstanding. Since Russ has taken...
Even
with the record that they're at. I mean, they look more complete than the Chiefs. I mean, obviously, Chiefs will probably end up winning because it's the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs and the refs. So...
The refs haven't helped them out in the past two games.
Friday they did. One ref calls a false start.
Friday they did.
The refs kind of gave it to them. The two games before that, no. But literally Friday, the ref calls false start, and then they change their mind and call it a illegal formation. So then Chiefs get to keep the ball.
Well, guess what was going on Friday? Oh, it was Black Friday. Nobody's going to watch the Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and it was on Amazon Prime. Like, come on.
Yeah, but nobody's going to be watching that. No. So who cares what we call?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares what we call? We're going to get paid anyways, guys. Yep.
But, yeah, I'll give Steelers love. I think they're in there. Since Russ has taken over, they just look like a fully complete team that could take on the Chiefs. My third team of the week will be the Philadelphia Eagles, EAGLES. They look great. Their defense has just gotten better and better and better. They did not look good. Exactly. Their defense did not look good the first few weeks, and then just they're starting to get healthier. Even though they lost Brandon Graham, our boy BG from Michigan, they just look a lot better on defense. They, like we said earlier, they beat the Ravens at home or at Baltimore and only held them to 19 points. So when they need to score points, they can score points. They have arguably probably the MVP this year with Saquon. So that's why they are my team of the week at the number three spot. Number two, give your team some love that you work for, some Florida basketball. 8-0, good start. Haven't played the toughest teams yet, but 8-0 is 8-0. And it's a good momentum going into when they start playing their SEC games.
I mean, with the SEC, ACC challenge coming up, playing against Virginia.
It'll be a good
one. Not much of a challenge either, but
Virginia's still good. They're not like what Virginia usually is, but they should. It'll give them a competition.
Well, it's because they don't have their head coach anymore.
That's true,
they fired their head coach two seasons ago, and ever since they did that, their basketball team has not been the same. And
no, they really haven't.
That was the same head coach that led them to that championship game. Like,
yep.
Yeah,
Florida, yeah, Virginia really hasn't looked like that.
Championship, so.
Yeah, I agree. And then it goes to my number one team of the week. I mean, got to give to Michigan again. Number one team of the week. I don't know what else to say about them. They just come out, only throw 60 yards, but ball out on defense and stop the world famous Ohio State from winning for the fourth time in a row.
The
world famous.
The.
But
well,
yeah, we're
the University of Michigan. We get the now.
Yeah,
we get
They don't get the game. Yeah, they don't get the anymore. The no more anymore. They're just going to be called Ohio.
Nope.
OHIO.
You're just
it's a sad state in Ohio right now. Sorry for everyone that's from Ohio.
HOTTOGO. What?
Yeah, what?
What are we spelling?
What are we spelling? I don't know. They don't spell up there. But yeah, we'll just keep it going. We'll go into my top five players of the week now. So my number five player is someone that the Ohio State probably wish they had this year instead of Will Howard. And that would be Kyle McCord for Syracuse. Threw 380 yards and three touchdowns and a huge upset win over Miami. And not only that, just to put like a little bit extra pain to Ohio State fans, Kyle McCord leads the entire nation in passing yards this year. But he wasn't good enough to stay at Ohio State. So, and number four player of the week, I'm giving it to our boy Khalil Mullins. Straight up balled out. Didn't have the greatest yards per carry number, but having 32 carries for 116 yards and one touchdown against that good defense, no fumbles, he carried us to that win. That last run on that 3rd and 8 was a monster run. Broke like four tackles just to get that first down and pretty much put the game out of the way at that point, get us in the field goal range. So Khalil Mullins is up there. My third player is Rookie of the Year, Brock Bowers, with another stellar performance once again. 10 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown. Basically the next Travis Kelce. Let's see. Okay. He's a monster. He plays similar to him, and I feel like every week he has about 8 to 10 catches, 100+ yards, one touchdown every week. So, superstar. It's gonna be hard. I mean, we're probably gonna give Rookie of the Year to one of the quarterbacks, but he arguably should be the Rookie of the Year with the season he's had. We'll go to my number two player.
Put my vote in for that. I'd vote the same thing. He's on a couple of my fantasy football teams
Quarterbacks get too much love.
And it's like, whoa.
Give the tight end some love. We'll go to my number two, who's one of the other rookie quarterbacks in there for Rookie of the Year. Jayden Daniels, he had a pretty good game. He had 206 yards, three touchdowns. He did throw the one pick, but he also had 34 yards on the ground with another touchdown. So he had four total touchdowns. Fantasy-wise, he put up monster numbers, and he just looked better. He, like, had a really good start, had a little bit of a slump there in the middle, but he was also hurt. And then started the last 2 weeks, it balled out once again. So he's my number two. My number one is the Russell Wilson. He had 414 yards and three touchdowns with the one pick, but when it came down to it, instead of smash mouth Steeler football, they had to keep up with the Bengals and air it out, and he did, and he handled it well. So that's why he is my number one player of the week.
All right. Going into my top five players of the week, I'm a bit of a homer for my top two, to be honest, and then we kind of get to normalcy. Number one, Amir Hall. Getting that interception like right there at the beginning of the season, the game sets us up for that touchdown. I mean, without that, we probably didn't have much of a fighting chance. I'm sure with that turned the tides, the whole momentum game on its head.
Yep, I didn't see it. It coming either. That was a great pick.
Like that's why he's my number one.
Yep.
Number two, Sam Laporta, getting two touchdowns. He only got 6 yards, but gets us two touchdowns to help us beat the Bears 23-20. So he comes in at number two for that reason. Coming in at number three is Demetrius Knight, Jr. for South Carolina. He gets that final interception against Clemson to seal off the win. He helps them, you know, get above and beyond, you know, seal a deal, all that stuff for the Gamecocks to beat the Clemson Tigers.
And South Carolina had a sneaky good season this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. Some of those losses could turn into some wins, and they beat the whole top of the town.
And they were good losses. It wasn't like terrible losses. They were good losses. So they had a good year this year.
Yeah. So coming in at number four is Josh Allen, 148 yards, two passing TDs, one rushing TD against the San Francisco 49ers. Very good game for him. And then at number five, Jalen Hurts with 118 yards, with one pass and one rushing touchdown, having a good game against the Ravens. And, yeah, like I can't say much more than that for him.
Yeah, he did.
Which gives me my gut reactions of the week. You know, turkey tastes better past 7 years, like I said. You know, just tasted so – oh, my goodness. Mm. Mm.
So Detroit so finally good. Wins. Finally wins.
Kyle, guess what? Yep.
What's that?
I've got the flag. I've got the flag, Kyle. I've got the flag. Man. I'm gonna go play that B, Kyle. I'm gonna go play the bag at flea. Go to B. Go to B. Yeah. Go to B, Kyle. Go to B. Let's go to B.
No, I don't know. You might start a fight.
The flag at B.
You might start a fight.
I'm gonna get mace, Kyle.
Yeah, you're about to get mace now.
I'm getting mace, Kyle. They're macing me, Kyle.
Yeah, they're macing you now. Don't no flag planting. Don't do it. So dumb.
That brings our entertainment segment in for this new era of our we didn't do this last time, guys, so you're gonna have to bear with us. With the flag planting, we want to touch on this subject. We call it our entertainment. It could be pretty much anything that happens within the week. It's just something that's, you know, very controversial. We want to touch on it, and then we move on, kind of thing. So what happened this last week, five different rivalry games had a flag planting celebration happening. Four of those resulted in a brawl, and one of those four involved authorities and macing players. It was, you know, our game. That happened to, unfortunately, our guys got maced by some
there was no reason for the macing. Yeah. There was no like full out just mealing each other. No reason to be maced. That was way overreaction on that part, on those officers' parts. They did not need to be macing.
I totally agree.
They literally just shoving. It's a rivalry game. It's a rivalry match. They're going to do this. To me, it's not a huge deal. Look at earlier in the year. Like, we had Michigan play Texas at Michigan Stadium. Field, nothing happened because we left. Michigan plays Oregon in the big house. Oregon plants their flag in the middle of Michigan. Nothing happens. You plant it. Like, I don't see it. It's not a big deal. Like, just plant the flag. Other team, you lost. You don't deserve to fight afterwards because you didn't want to fight during the game. So get off the field now.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions that I ask here in this thing. So who does it affect? The other people that it affects, I guess, is Baker Mayfield. He's the guy that got thrown under the bus. A lot of headlines are blaming him because apparently he was the first guy to do it. In the Oklahoma-Ohio State game when Oklahoma went up there and they beat.
He planted it at Ohio Stadium.
The shoe.
Yep. And he even said it's not even a big deal. A lot of people. Teams do this. He even said it in his interview. He's like, it's not a big deal. Like, teams do this. Just don't throw a hissy fit afterwards.
So my other question is, what will the future look like? I ask a question to that, basically. Will more visiting opponents look to do this in big must-win games? Yes, of course. Like you just said, it happened to us when Texas beat us.
Twice.
In the big house. It happened to us when when Oregon won in the Big House. Like, yeah. It's going to happen now. I guess it's going to be somewhat of a tradition. Either a flag is going to be planted or a field goal is going to be taken down into a river. It's going to happen one or the other ways, guys. We're going to either have a flag planted in the middle of our field, or the home team's going to take down their field goals and go take it to the river a mile away.
Yeah, I think the I think what they might end up doing is like, hey, you can plant the flag, but give them like a certain amount of time before they do it. Like, make sure the other team's not near you when you plant the flag. And then if you plant the flag and they come out, obviously the other team was at fault for coming in and starting something that they had no business coming back on the field to start a fight for.
As we lead into the how do you feel about it part of this, is I think, yeah, the coaches should be responsible for the players and their actions at the end of the day, because they're kids. They're 20 years old. They're 18 years old. They're 19. Like, they're not – they're smart enough to make a decision, but maybe not a decision like that, to where the coach could be like, all right, guys, if you guys really want to do this, like – Go say good game. Go out there and say good game. Shake hands with the other team. Give them like a minute, 2 minutes. Yeah. Let them go back to their locker rooms. Then you can start celebrating all you want. Then you go get your flag. You celebrate all you want. That way there's no like brawls, nothing like that. Like that. That's just how I feel how it should go. I mean... Yep. It's also,
let's just say, if the other team was past the 25-yard line going into their locker room, it's like, all right, they're way past us at midfield. Yeah. Plant the flag now. If they come back, that's on them now.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I agree. If they're way past that area, let them be out there. And then if they want to start something, that is their fault for starting it.
And so that entitles our entertainment of the week segment. You know, it won't happen every week.
Flag planting.
Because nothing like that really happens every week, because, you know, college football's about to go into the bowl game season now.
It was rivalry week, so I mean.
Really flag planting incidents happening.
Yeah, you're just claiming what's the Big Ten going to do? They're going to claim the Indianapolis Colts Stadium now?
Oh, we're gonna plant the flag. We're gonna plant the flag at the Rose Bowl. We're gonna do Rose that, Bowls. Guys.
Yeah, Rose Bowl is ours.
Rose Bowl is ours.
Anyways, that leads us into our upcoming week segment. Top five games to watch. I will kick it off here with my top five games. Number one is our two teams battling it on Thursday night on Amazon Prime.
Great. Yeah, great. Again.
But I think it should be a watch game. The Packers are getting their team together. The Lions are kind of falling apart, I would say.
Not really falling apart. They've got injuries they're dealing with, but I feel like the Packers apart.
Injuries are falling apart.
Packers are doing enough.
Like, at the end of the day, in my mind, I'm just like, we had all these injuries. We're not putting a game together that we want to put together. Like, in the past two or three games, we put up the 50 piece, but still, it's like...
They're doing enough to win. That's all that matters in the NFL. And as long as you can get healthy, like, with the Packers are doing enough to make the Lions have to keep winning is the only down. Like, Packers are winning just as much as them. They're two games back, so this is a big game. If Packers take this game over the Lions, that puts a lot of pressure then on the Lions to win out.
Yeah. So, and then that brings me to my second game of the week, the Chargers at the Chiefs on Sunday night.
That'd be a good game.
Sunday night.
Yep, that'd be a good game.
So, yeah, that's good. That's going to be a game to watch. Like, that Sunday night game, I'll go kind of want to watch that game, especially – with how the Chargers are playing, especially in primetime. Like, they've been pretty baller in primetime games. Like, the past Sunday night and Monday night games, they put up some points, and they play every single, like, down. Like, their special teams showed up, their defense showed up, their offense showed up. It's like, you know, football at its finest. And Harbaugh's doing something there in L.A. It's pretty
cool.
Got
that defense going down there. He's got that defense.
Yep. And so number three, the SEC championship comes in at number three. Number seven, Georgia versus number three, Texas. It's going to be a pretty good game to watch. It's going to be something that we should all have our eyes on, especially with that college football playoff implications. Do you think the loser might get knocked out?
No, I don't think so. Now that I think if Georgia had lost to Georgia Tech, yes, this game mattered for Georgia. Now that Georgia beat Georgia Tech and going into this game, I think it's okay if Georgia loses. If Georgia loses this game, I think they would drop to maybe like 9, 10, somewhere in there. But if – because this would – that would only be Georgia's second loss, correct, if they lose this weekend?
No.
This would be their – I thought it would, who else did they lose to? They lost to Ole Miss.
Yes.
So this would be their third loss.
They lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah. So they lost to Ole Miss and Alabama. So this would be. I don't think, because I mean, like they've said in the past, their teams aren't supposed to be punished for making their championship game. So. I guess the question would be, who are you putting ahead of Georgia if Georgia lost this game?
Well, I put Penn State if they lose theirs.
Penn State's in no matter what. Like going to Penn State and Oregon, Penn State's in no matter what. If they lose, they'll still be in because it'll only be their second loss.
Because that's my number four game is the Big Ten Championship. Yeah. Number four, Penn State versus number one, Oregon. And then at number five, I have a whole onslaught of games, 16 of them, coming in at number five. It's called the ACC-SEC Challenge in men's basketball. That is coming up this week. It all starts tomorrow on Wednesday. It's tomorrow and Thursday. It's going to be 16 games between the two conferences. I wish it was still the ACC-Big Ten Challenge. But obviously nobody wants to play the Big Ten because you obviously got the Big 12, yep. Big East battle as well going on this week.
Yeah.
You get – like we got nobody wants to play. Why? Like are we that scary or are we just that bad?
I don't know. I guess so.
I mean Purdue's good. Michigan is starting to come back up.
We'll see tonight.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll go right into my top five games because my fifth one is the one that's tonight. It's Michigan versus Wisconsin basketball, which will be played in about 5 hours from now. So, yeah, that was kind of going off what you were just talking about. Like, we'll see how good Michigan is tonight. I don't expect Michigan to win this game because Wisconsin's good, and it's at Wisconsin. It's in Madison. So I don't expect them to win this game. But if they can keep it close and have it a really close game, then I'd be impressed with Michigan this year. We'll go into my fourth. Same as yours was the Packers-Lions. That's a big game. Lions kind of need to win. I mean, they both need to win this game. Lions for the bragging rights and to keep that two games up on the Packers. I think they have a two-game lead or one-game lead on the Vikings.
On the Vikings.
So this is still a big win for the Lions.
Two on the Packers.
Yeah, you have two on the Packers, one on the Vikings. So this is still a big game for both. We'll go – my next three are kind of like what you were. They're all the championship games. So I have SMU-Clemson. So, like, in what we were talking about earlier, I feel this one does have playoff implications because winners in, losers out, no matter what happens in this game. If SMU loses to Clemson, SMU's out. Even though it'd only be their second loss, their schedule was horrendous this year. It was really bad. It was almost like – Indiana for the Big Ten. Their schedule just was not good. Did not play tough teams. So if Clemson wins this one, SMU's out. If SMU wins, Clemson's out. My second will be Penn State, Oregon. I think this one doesn't really have playoff implications. If Oregon loses this game, Oregon will just drop to five. They would be the five seed because Penn State would have to take one of the byes. So, yeah, if Penn State loses, it would only be their second loss. It would probably put them, I don't know, maybe 9, 8, 10, somewhere in there. They'll still be in. The Georgia-Texas one would be
there, but they won't be hosting.
I don't think they'll be hosting because I think if Penn State loses, they'll probably fall behind Ohio State at that point. So then, more than likely, yeah, they won't be hosting. It would take me to my number one, which is the Georgia-Texas game. This one, I don't know if it has playoff implications because I look at Georgia's record. If Georgia loses this game, I just don't know who you put ahead of them in the playoffs. Like, I don't think you can put Alabama with three losses also. I don't think you can put South Carolina. Cause,
no, you couldn't put anybody else in the SEC against them.
No, like, you could.
Yeah,
and that's
they're supposed to be the second best at your conference.
Exactly, and like I said with the committee, like the committee is not supposed to punish teams that lose in their conference championship game. So you can't really hold that loss against them because they made it to their championship game and then lost. So
yeah,
yeah, and I guess we'll just go right into my top five teams to watch because a lot of them are just these teams we're talking about now, and we kind of just went over it.
Yeah,
I had five: Michigan basketball, big game tonight. It's going to show us who they are. If they can pull an upset win, this team is for real, for real. But if they lose a close game, I would still be happy. They got a kind of a tough stretch here going on. They got at Wisconsin. I think then they're like back home against Iowa. And then they go and play the two neutral site games against Arkansas and Oklahoma. So they have a tough four games here stretch, or a tough stretch of four games here. It's really going to show how they are as a basketball team and what the future kind of holds this season. But I've been impressed so far. Finally get them ranked again. So we'll see tonight, see how they play. Going right back into them, you have the Lions, my number four. Number three is Clemson. Number two is Georgia. Number one is Penn State. All those teams are teams to watch. We kind of already just talked about them as we went through them. There's not much else to go through with those. Like, we talked about the Lions. We talked about Clemson. I mean, there's not much to talk about Clemson. They got to win to make it in. They could be a scary team when they're in the playoffs because they still have a good offense, but it's like a team that feels in shambles right now. It's like they're having like an identity crisis. So, yeah, I'll let you go with your top five teams after that.
All right. I mean, I kind of agree with you with a few of those. My number one team to watch is the Detroit Lions playing against the Packers this weekend. It's going to be something to watch with them with all the injuries and how they handle – your Packers, because it seems like this might be one of those games where we can't, you know, win against the Packers.
I just have that gut feeling.
It's just that gut feeling for me. It's just like when I look at it and I see all the injuries that we have and the few games that we just like played. Yeah, you do have that 150 piece, but that's not against you guys.
And it's weirdly between the Packers and the Lions, I feel like the away team has won like the last six games. I feel like Detroit's been beating Green Bay and Green Bay, and Green Bay's been beating Detroit and Detroit like the last few years.
It's been pretty back and forth. The only one year that was swept between us was 2021, 2022, and it was us.
Yeah.
And then obviously it was the year right before you guys swept us.
Then last year it was a split, but the split was we won in Detroit.
It's been Green Bay. Splits. Yeah, it's been
what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the away team's been winning these games. It's weird.
So, yeah. So, and then going into number two would be the Los Angeles Chargers. That would be the team to watch this week as they play the Kansas City Chiefs. Especially see how Harbaugh can handle it playing against, you know, the Super Bowl reigning champions. And then coming in at number three will be the Kansas City Chiefs facing the Los Angeles Chargers, an up-and-coming team that's finally finding their you know, legs and being able to play some football. They're not the Raiders guys. They're not the Broncos guys. They're still in your division, and you got to play them. So, and the Chiefs lately here, historically, have been, you know, underplaying their own divisional rivals because they know that they're way better than them. And if they come in like that against the Chargers, they're not going to win this game. They're just not. Like, they can't underplay They can't underplay these guys. They can't.
I agree.
There's just no way. Number four will be the Texas Longhorns. It'll be interesting to watch them, especially if they beat the Georgia Bulldogs. But I don't know if that will happen. Georgia Bulldogs are a pretty good team. They're pretty stout. They got all their guys. They're clicking on pretty much all their gears. But I could see it happening where the Longhorns do win, too. Like, the Longhorns have Quinn Ewers. They have, you know, a great lineup behind him to get him going and all that. And then at number five, the Kansas Jayhawks. They're my top five teams to watch. I wouldn't say just for the week. I'm just saying top five overall, just from what I've looked at in their past. All right, you ready for this? The Kansas Jayhawks have beaten the UNC Tar Heels. They have beaten the Michigan State Spartans. And they have beaten the Duke Blue Devils. There is a reason why they are the number one team
in the nation
right now.
I've already put money on them to win the national championship.
And they have a pretty tough opponent schedule before they reach the Big 12 coming up. And it'll be interesting to watch them before they even enter the conference to, you know, play. And then once they get in the conference, that Big 12 conference isn't easy either. It's no cakewalk.
No, it's not.
You got Iowa State. You got Baylor. You got
Houston, you know, in there, don't you?
Houston, yeah. And so it's not going to be easy for them to get through that conference play. And so it'll be interesting. So
yeah, I agree.
That's my top five teams to watch.
Yep, I like those, especially Kansas. I do like that.
And that'll lead into my top five players to watch, and I'll just go backwards. Because literally what I did is I just put a player to each team, except for one exception. So, talking about the Kansas Jayhawks, my number five player, guess who it is?
Big Duke.
Guess who it is, Kyle?
Big Duke.
Hunter Dickinson. He used to play for Michigan. I hate that, you know, he didn't want to play with us again.
Nah, he made him right. He made the money moves. Kansas was going to pay him. He's not going to be big in the NBA. So, I have no regrets for him leaving.
I don't have regrets, like, you know, anything against him, but I just wish we could have kept him. Because, like, look where we're at now, like, as a basketball team. And, like, if we had that talent on our team, too, leading the Michigan Wolverines, like, think about it. Like that's what my brain's going to. And so number four, Dylan Gabriel of the Oregon Ducks. He'll be a top five player to watch, especially him against Penn State. I feel like he's going to go off. He's going to do his thing and put a beating to Penn State. But Penn State will probably put up a good game. But I don't know. I want to say both things just so I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
but anyways, number three is Quinn Ewers, just to see how he does against that Georgia defense.
Round two.
He's been playing pretty good. Yeah, he's been playing pretty good ball. I think they could probably figure it out and maybe rattle off a win, but we'll see about that. Number two, the dynamic duo, David Montgomery, Jamar Gibbs, Sonic and
Knuckles.
They didn't do well on Thanksgiving.
They did good enough. Own
up to that. I mean, they did good enough, but they didn't do anything that, you know, would spark anything. That's why I didn't put them in the top five players of the past week. But I would like to watch them get some touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers.
That's fair.
And then number one player to watch is Justin Herbert. See how he does against that Chiefs defense. And like I said, in prime time, they've been balling.
They have.
Herbert's been balling. He has. In prime time. Like, so if he does this against the Super Bowl reigning Kansas City Chiefs, oh my goodness. He's going to be.
And their defense is no joke.
He could be an MVP talk.
He could. Their defense is no joke, too. They've stepped their game up. Yeah, and it'll go right into my top five players. So like just yours, my five is Justin Herbert. Love him. This is a big game for him, though. Like, I feel like they need this win more than the Chiefs need this win. So it'll be interesting to watch this game. It'll be a good game to watch. I think it's going to be more of a low-scoring kind of affair. But I could also see them airing it out. So we'll see. I do think Herbert needs to have a good game, and they're going to have to use his legs in this one. My number four players to watch is Josh Allen. Allen has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league pretty much the last few years, but just this season alone, he has been carrying that team. He had an awesome game against San Francisco on Sunday, and then this week he gets to go to LA to play the Rams. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to go back and forth because the Rams defense isn't that great. So it'll be a fun one to watch with Josh Allen. My number three is not really a player. It's a coach, and we're going to go with Lalonde from Detroit Red Wings. It's time to put him on coach watch. I'll get it back. I'll get on more to him in the gut predictions, but yeah, he's not doing too hot, and I think they might move away from him here in the near future with him. My number two player to watch is Carson Beck. Carson Beck's going to be interesting to watch. He played pretty good against Texas the first time around, so I don't see anything different. They have more they're used to this atmosphere when they go into the SEC championship game because they've been there before. So I think the pressure is more on Texas in this game to produce better than the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia knows what they're going in for. I just think Carson Beck does have to have a good game. He's been so inconsistent this year with he looks like a Heisman candidate. He looks like a transfer quarterback that's on his way out of Georgia. Like he just needs to pick a lane and stay in it. I think if he can ball out, Georgia is still a scary team to have to play when it comes to the playoffs. And then my number one player is Drew Aller from Penn State. If Penn State has any hope in this game to beat Oregon, it is going to be with the arm and leg of Drew Aller, because Oregon's going to score points. Penn State's got a great defense, and I think they won't allow Oregon to score a ton of points, but they're going to need Drew Aller to be able to score. So he's going to have to – if he has a stellar game, they have a chance to beat Oregon. So he would be my number one player to watch. And then I guess they'll just go right into my gut predictions for this week, going right into those games. Going with what I said with the number three player to watch with Coach Lalonde, my prediction is he is going to get fired within the next couple weeks. Unless something drastic happens with Detroit Red Wings, Lalonde is going to get fired in the next 2 weeks.
Do you think they're going to just do intern and then
They might just do intern for now and then find the right coach, but I just don't think he's the right fit for them. They have pieces to be better than what they are. It's just they're not gelling with him, and I think he's just the wrong coach right now for this team. So I do think he's going to get fired in the next week or two. Next podcast, or maybe the podcast after that. So he might be my cup prediction for the next 2 weeks, or he might be a surprise. Hey, look, we've won six in a row, and then this take looks stupid. So we'll go. My number four gut prediction, going back to Michigan basketball, I do think they're going to go 2-1 in this little stretch of tough games here. I think we're going to lose tonight against Wisconsin, and then I think we're going to beat Iowa at home, and then Arkansas, I think that's next Monday or next Tuesday at the neutral site. I think we'll go 2-1. That'd be my gut prediction for that. My 3-2-1 are the bowl game, or not the bowl games, but the championship games. First one is I think Clemson takes the ACC. I'm not thoroughly impressed with SMU. They haven't played a tough schedule. Clemson has played a tough schedule. They haven't looked the greatest, but they've shown the work that they can still be a top team. I don't know how good they'll do in the playoffs, but I do think they're going to take SMU and take the ACC. My number two is Georgia is going to win the SEC. I think Georgia already showed they're better than Texas. And that was at Texas when they beat Texas earlier this year. So I think Texas looks really good. They also has had a cupcake schedule this year. When they've played their one good team they had to play this year, Georgia kind of beat them pretty good. So if Carson Beck can just take care of the ball and they just do what Georgia's done the last few years, I think Georgia's going to come out with the SEC championship game. And then my number one gut prediction is Oregon's going to take the Big Ten. They're going to run the table, take it all. I don't know if they'll win the national championship game. Or they could. They have a really good team. But I do think they're too much for Penn State to handle. So that'll be my five gut predictions.
All right. And I agree with you on one of those. My gut predictions, I kind of went over my top five games to watch. Going with number one, I take the Lions over the Packers, just because it's Lions.
It's fair.
Over the Packers.
It's a good choice.
I can't choose the other way.
It's a good choice.
The other way, I just can't. And then Chargers over Chiefs is my number two pick of the week. I believe the Chargers will pull it off, and they will beat the Chiefs in prime time. Like I said, they ball out. I've been saying this whole time.
They do.
And then I'm taking the Longhorns. I'm taking the Longhorns of the Bulldogs. I think Carson Beck falls apart again, has one of those games where he's just throwing interception after interception, and the Longhorns take advantage. I don't see it any other way right now. Because I just haven't seen Carson Beck in his prime and playing a good game. I guess I just missed those games. I guess I've only seen him play the games where he just plays terribly and they lose. So
you're still thinking Texas gonna beat him, even though they played earlier in the year in Texas at Texas.
That's the thing about it. I feel like when you take a loss to a team, you don't let them beat you again. You're not going
to
do that.
It is always hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah, so I think Longhorns take this one, takes the one that matters the most. So
but don't get me wrong, I'm cheering for Texas, but I just don't.
And then I've got Oregon over Penn State as well. I think Oregon wipes the floor with Penn State.
They're too good.
It's going to be, just too much talent for Penn State to handle. And then my number five prediction, I'm predicting the SEC-ACC challenge here. I think the SEC wins 11 games to 5.
Oh, you think it's going to be a landslide.
It's close to being a landslide. I would say a landslide if the ACC only takes 4 games.
I could see it. I could easily see that because, ACC's really got Duke, Carolina right now.
Yeah, they've got Duke, they've got Carolina. Wake Forest kind of
spotty.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like if you look at each matchup, which if you want me to go through them, I can. I got it right here, right in front of me. So we got the first games
but
coming up.
We'll go quick and then I'll just pick who I just off the top of my head who I think is winning that game.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna go through this real good. Alabama, North Carolina. Oof. Number 10, Alabama. Number 20, North Carolina.
Alabama.
Virginia, number 13, Florida.
Florida.
Number 2, Auburn. At number 9, Duke.
Auburn.
Yeah, that's the thing. You've already got.
Yeah, they gave ACC already. Their best two teams against the SEC's best teams.
Yeah. And so then you got number 18, Pittsburgh against Mississippi State.
I'll get Pitt on that.
Texas at NC State.
Texas. NC State could surprise. NC State could win that one. I'm gonna give State some love.
NC State's 5-2.
I'm gonna give State love because State held on there with Purdue. So I'll give State some love. I think State can win that game.
Yeah. Vandy, Virginia Tech.
Vandy.
All right, and that's your whole Wednesday. All right. So tonight you got Arkansas, Miami.
Arkansas.
Notre Dame, Georgia.
We'll go Notre Dame on that one.
Really? Notre Dame's 4-4, Georgia's 7-1.
Oof.
Yeah, that's the thing. Georgia's playing pretty good ball lately.
I just feel like they always choke when it comes to basketball.
Yeah. So, and then you got California, Missouri.
Probably go with Missouri on that one.
South Carolina at Boston College.
South Carolina.
Ooh. A 4-3 South Carolina and a 6-2 Boston College.
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust these other smaller ACC, these smaller schools. I mean, their schedule is not tough to start, so it's hard to judge them on a 6-2 record.
And wait for this onslaught for what's coming the ACC's way. You ready? Syracuse at number 3, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Georgia Tech at number 21, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give it Oklahoma on that one.
Wake Forest at number 22, Texas A&M.
A&M's going to win that one.
Number 23, Ole Miss at Louisville.
Louisville's a surprise this year. I could see Louisville upsetting that one.
Florida State at LSU.
Is LSU decent this year? Florida State usually is pretty good.
They both have the same record right now, 7-1, 6-1.
I'm going to go with Florida State.
I'm going to go with Florida State.
So. Florida State's notoriously been good the last like 5-6 years, so I'm going to give them the edge on that one.
And then finally, you got number 4, Kentucky at Clemson.
I think Kentucky's going to blow them out.
Yeah.
I said a lot more SEC teams than ACC on that one.
Yeah. Like that's why my prediction is 11-5 right now. I'm giving ACC maybe a couple more than they deserve. But
yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. That's why I'm at 11-5.
That's fair.
All right. And that leads us into our fantasy focus, moving on from our weekly reviews, and we're going into the fantasy focus. Our top five players for each position, Kyle. You want to start it off with the QBs, my friend?
Yeah, I'll start. So, like we said, I'm just going for what's coming up this week. These are my top five that I think are going to finish 1-5. I got Joe Burrow starting with number one. I think he's going to be he's kind of been the best quarterback almost all season. I think he's like number two quarterback overall behind Lamar. So I'm going to give him my number one. My number two is going to be Josh Allen. He's been insane the last few weeks, giving you a lot of points, especially on the ground too now. Surprise one, my number three is Kyler Murray. I really like his matchup this week, so I'm going to give – and there's a bunch of quarterbacks on bye, so I'm going to give Kyler Murray there at number three. Number four, I'm going to give it to Jordan Love. I think for the Packers to stay in the game with the Lions, they're going to have to throw the ball, so I think he's going to give you two, three touchdowns maybe. And then my last one will be Justin Herbert. I think he's going to – I think that game could surprise people and be a little bit more higher scoring. Not crazy high scoring, but I don't know, like a 24-23 type game. So, and I think he's going to have to do it throwing because Kansas City defense is really good against the run.
I got you there. My top five going into this week, it will be Josh Allen. He's my number one quarterback going into this week. He's been having a pretty stellar season so far, and with his matchup coming up, I believe he makes it into my top spot. Then you got Jalen, you got Hurts. He's my number two quarterback. They're going to be playing the Panthers, aren't they? Are they not?
Yeah,
I think they are.
Yeah, they have the Panthers this week.
So that puts them in my number two spot. The Panthers, they've been playing pretty good ball, but it seems like they've been giving up the most fantasy points this season.
It's a lot of points.
And then I got Sam Darnold coming in at number three. The Vikings, they're playing a team that gives up a lot of fantasy points coming up this week. So that puts Sam right there at number three. I got Patrick Mahomes at number four and Justin Herbert at number five. But you could probably flip-flop them. I believe they're both going to have a pretty stellar game, like I've been saying earlier. Herbert's going to ball out in prime time, and then Mahomes is going to see what's going on the other side, and he's going to want to match him step for step. Like, Mahomes is not going to want to back down in this matchup here.
Yeah, I can see
it
being a shootout.
That kind of puts them, with that being a shootout, I'm putting them at 4-5.
I like it.
And then that goes into my top five running backs. I got Saquon Barkley with the Eagles playing against the Panthers. And then I got Kamara coming in at number two. And then the dynamic duo at 3-4, Montgomery and Gibbs. And then I've got Jacobs giving your guys some love coming up on Thursday night. That's
an interesting one.
So, I mean, Jacobs, I was going to give him a shout-out our last podcast because he put up some numbers up against – who was it?
Yeah, he had that three-touchdown game.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, that three-touchdown game. I can't put up those numbers. Against San Fran, that's quite the feat to do. So
it is.
He's going to get a little shout out for me if we did that. But obviously, we're a whole week and a half out from that.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. We'll go. Was that your five?
That was my five. We'll go with my five.
My number one is Alvin Kamara. I really love his matchup. He's got the Giants this week, so. Giants are in just pure shambles right now. I think Kamara's going to have a big game. Good thing with Kamara is you're going to get a lot of catches with him, so that's why he's going to be my number one. Number two, I'm going to go with Gibbs instead of Knuckles for you. I think Gibbs just offers way more in the passing game than Montgomery does. And I think they are going to use him a little bit more in the air against the Packers. So I'll put him at my number two. My number three is Barkley. That's the only reason why I don't have Hurts ranked in my top five, because I think Barkley has a potential here to just have another monster game, like 130 yards, three touchdown type game. So he could easily be number one. I mean, any of these guys could be number one. Actually, those first three could. My number four is Devon Achane. He's just, ever since Tua came back, he's been a monster catching the ball and running. So, and he's got the New York Jets, who's been struggling and are injured now in defense. So I like Achane's opportunity there to get good amount of points. And then my number five, I got Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams is a touchdown machine this year. He has, what, like 10 touchdowns already? He had another. He's just coming off a good game against New Orleans with over 100 yards and a touchdown. And then this week he gets Buffalo at home. Buffalo doesn't have the strongest run defense. So I think he could get you a solid 80, 90 yards, possibly one, two touchdowns. So he'll be my number five. That takes me into my top five at wide receivers. So my number one will be Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow throwing him the ball against Dallas. It's at Dallas, so I have a feeling Ja'Marr Chase is going to have a big game. Going into my number two will be Justin Jefferson, just like how you think Sam Darnold's going to have a big game. He loves to throw the ball at Jefferson. I think this could be Jefferson's like first big game of the season. He's been just consistently good this year, like 8 catches, 130 yards, 9 catches, 80 yards. I think he could put you up that 9-10 catch range maybe this week, get you over 100 yards and a touchdown. That'll go my number three. We got Puka. Puka's just been very consistent this year, especially since he's come back being healthy. Matthew Stafford looks a lot better when he has Puka and Cooper Kupp available to throw to, so I think Puka is going to get himself another 100-plus yards, maybe another touchdown. And then we'll go into my number four. We got Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a quietly good year. I mean, he kind of like started pretty good at the beginning, kind of like leveled out a little bit, and then he's come back alive here the last few weeks. I think he could have another game, because I think this game is going to be more of a shootout instead of running the ball as much. So I think if they're going to do that, St. Brown's going to have a pretty good game. And then my last one, I'm going to go to T. Higgins, because I do think Bengals are going to throw the ball pretty well against Dallas. So I love Chase Brown – or not Chase Brown. I do like him as a running back, but I like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. There's my two wide receivers there. So I'll give Higgins number five.
I gotcha. I kind of agree with you with a few of those. I put J.J. as my top one, Justin Jefferson. With that matchup against, with him having Sam Darnold in the backfield throwing it to him, I think he's gonna go.
And Atlanta does really bad against receivers too.
Yeah, Atlanta. I don't know why I thought Carolina, because I was like, why am I thinking Carolina? Freaking Eagles are playing Carolina. Anyways, and then I got the Sun God coming in at two. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I got him at number two. I feel the same way. He's gonna have a go off game coming up here against the Packers, because I don't know about the run against you guys. I feel like our passing game will do a lot better.
Yep,
Yep,
I agree.
And then Cooper Kupp. I'm actually picking him over Nacua. I think Cooper's gonna have a better game than Nacua. It's just my feeling.
It's fair.
And then Malik Nabers, I've got him coming in at four. I feel like his matchup is pretty stellar, especially for him. I know the Giants aren't doing that well of a team, but
they don't even know who their quarterback is this week.
Yeah, I know who I know all that controversy, but it doesn't matter. This guy's going to come out. He's going to play a game. He's going to play his game, and I feel like he's going to put up some numbers still. And then A.J. Brown coming in at fifth with the Eagles matchup against the Panthers. I feel like Hurts is going to, you know, be going off, throwing it. Barkley's going to be running it. And then guess who Hurts is going to throw it to? A.J. Brown.
It's the only one he does throw to.
Who else does he throw it to?
Exactly.
And so that leads me into my top five tight ends. Brock Bowers. I mean, dude's a stud. Dude's just going off every week in and week out. I don't care who you put up against this kid. He's going to be number one for probably the next couple of weeks for me, especially with the playoffs coming here. Then I got Travis Kelce as my number two. I like his matchup as a tight end. I don't know if he'll put up those kind of numbers like he normally does. We'll go back to what you said the other week. He's got to get the catches early and often, and then they're probably not going to throw to him very much because they don't want to get him injured. Yeah.
This one might be a little more competitive game, so he might have a bigger game.
Yeah, because that's the thing. With it being prime time against the Los Angeles Chargers, his girlfriend's probably going to be there. He's going to probably want to put up a game.
Yep.
And then I got George Kittle coming at number two. San Francisco with their matchup, I feel like he's good fit for that. And then McBride with the Cardinals playing the Seahawks. I'm pretty sure the Seahawks defense will give him a challenge, but I think they're going to look for McBride a little bit more than another guy that I've got coming up here in my starter sit segment here, Harrison Jr. And then coming at number five, Laporta. Like you said, I think they're going to throw. They're not – I mean, I'm kind of convinced that they're going to throw to Laporta more than Sun God, to be honest, because, that's just the surprise. He gets the ball. It's not for a lot of yards, but it's usually those touchdowns.
Yeah, he's big touchdown guy. That's about it right now.
Yeah. It's just that draw play that we draw them to the run, and then he's the one that's out there to throw it to.
Okay.
So he's usually our play action guy right there, right when we're at the
end zone. Yep. So my top five for tight ends, I'm going to change mine up just a little bit. But my number one, still Brock Bowers. He's just been a monster all year. No reason to take him off that number one line. I'm going to change it up a little bit. My number two is actually going to be Trey McBride. McBride's been insane the last 4 weeks. Kyler Murray's almost half of his passes have been targeted to McBride. His target share is insane right now. So, and he's catching at a 95% rate right now. So he's just a monster. He's almost guarantee you in a PPR league, 16 points per game, almost as a floor. And then if he gets a touchdown, it's even more. So McBride's going to be my number two. Number three, I'll keep Kelce because I think it's going to be a competitive game. So I'll keep Kelce at number three. My number four will be – I'm going to swap it there. I'm going to give Jonnu Smith my number four. Jonnu's just been insane. He's probably the top – or tight end number two or three the last, 4 weeks. And he's basically taking over that Jalen Waddle read for Tua. So it's either Tyreek Hill or Jonnu Smith. So I'm going to put Jonnu there at number three, or what I say, number four. And then my number five will be Kittle. Injuries to McCaffrey – and the receiving core, he pretty much has no one else to go to but Kittle and Debo at this point, and then Juwan Jennings. So Kittle's going to stay in my top five at number five.
I hear you. Do you have your phone on you, by the way?
I do.
Did you see the breaking news?
Oh, we got breaking news.
We got breaking news.
Oh, breaking news. Michigan football fires offensive coordinator Kurt Campbell.
You got your wish there, Kyle.
I called it. That should have been my gut prediction.
Instead of Lalonde firing at OC.
I knew it was coming. I even said this a few weeks ago. I said what they're going to do, especially now after they played that well against Ohio State, that they were going to keep the defensive coordinator and they're going to go to change offensive coordinators. So nice. That's going to be interesting. I'm curious on who they're going to go after for this now.
We had to break that news live on our podcast. We just got that in, and obviously we're a pair of Michigan fans, so we're kind of
nice. That's
happy.
It's good for them because he did not like him as offensive coordinator. So, all right.
Anyways,
fantasy pops and duds.
Because our thing is just step away from this for a minute, and then we
come back. And we're back to fantasy pops and duds.
Pops and duds. I believe Darnold will pop. I mean, I've got him in my top five.
Yep.
I believe he's going to pop off there with his matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. And then I believe Kamara is also going to pop off in his matchup.
I love it.
He hasn't been doing too hot. He's been putting up the numbers that he needs to be putting up. But I think he's going to finally have that one game where he's just like, oh, he's back.
Yeah. And I mean, he's always going to give you those receptions. So it's like at any time he could just break out and give you a 3-touchdown game.
And unfortunately, I kind of disagree with you with Nacua. I think Nacua kind of drops with a dud.
Oof.
I don't know. I think Stafford's going to look for Kupp a lot more. And then when push comes to shove, I haven't really seen Nacua really put up the numbers. I mean, he's been hurt for sure, but will he have the reps? Will he get, you know, the necessary snaps to get the points that he's supposed to be getting?
He's kind of been lights out since he's been back.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like, you get that way when you come back, and then you kind of calm down. I think this might be the game where he kind of settles down.
I feel like all right. I feel like last week was his more settling down game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only had 5 for 56. The touchdown saved him, but he's kind of come back to that. I mean, he was like this last year, but I always go after the targets, and he is just a target fiend. Him and Cooper together, so yeah. I would almost agree with you, but I just think they're going to have to keep up with Buffalo. So, and the only way they're doing that is throwing it to him.
I gotcha. And then I've got Robinson. I believe that he's going to get a dud this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, I could see that.
With his matchup.
That's a tough matchup. Yeah, my pops agree with you on Kamara. I think it's about time he has that breakout again where he gets you that crazy game where he's going to have like 6 catches. 50 yards, 80 yards rushing, and then 3 touchdowns. I could see him having that kind of game this week. My other pop, I'm going with Kyler Murray. He's been kind of quietly good this whole year. Plays so much better at home, and I think he's going to get a nice revenge game here against Seattle for losing that one a couple weeks ago. So I think he's going to have a pretty big game for this one. My duds for this week are going to be Jalen Waddle, because he has just become Mr. Irrelevant from last year. I don't know what it is. They just don't want to throw the ball to him this year. So he's going to be my dud. And then DJ Moore is going to be my dud this week also, because I don't think he's going to have a big game. I think it's going to be a...
Well, that helps me with my starter set segment.
Yeah, I just...
Because I've got Tyreek Hill and Waddle sitting here in my starter set. Should I start or sit him?
Who? Like, Tyreek Hill?
Both of them. I've got both
I
of them.
I would sit Waddle. Right there, and you're playing the Jets.
So you sit Waddle, but start Tyree.
And it really just—I guess it really just depends on who else you have, or are you trying to replace for him?
I gotcha. My other two starter sits is Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals, and then Devontae Smith.
I like it. I can see
for the Eagles
and Devontae,
because Devontae is questionable coming off his injury.
And Devontae's just one of those weird ones. It's like he'll go like 3-game stretches where it's nothing, and then he'll have a 2-game stretch with like 30 points, 25 points each game.
And he's supposed to be playing the
Panthers. Yep, so he could have that big game today, or this week. My sits, I would sit Nick Chubb. I don't like the matchup. He's going against the Steelers again. He did not play good this past week. So... yeah, I think this is a tough matchup for him, and I would not trust it. He didn't play that good this past week either. Going back to Waddle, I think you need to sit Waddle if you have better options. I know there's 6 teams on a bye this week, but I think Waddle's one of those players. I don't feel good putting him in my lineup.
Yep, that's actually a good point too. With all the byes,
yeah, you got 6 byes this week, so I mean, you might have no choice but to start Waddle if like your only other person's like. I mean, I don't know. It's somebody Nick Westbrook Akine. Like, that's like your choice between him and Waddle. It's like, I don't know. You can flip it. Would you rather take the better offense?
If you're like me and you have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers from the Ravens.
Yeah, you might have to start them.
you might have to drop one of those guys.
Exactly.
And pick up somebody.
And then, yeah, my 2 starts, it's a random one, but I think you should. I think Jaden Reed would be a pretty decent start this week. I think he's going to have a. I don't know about a stellar game, but I think he might have a surprising good game, because I do think Packs are going to have to throw against the Lions, so I do like Jaden Reed this week. He's been quiet the last few weeks. I think he pops this week, or he's going to have to. Someone's going to have to for the Packers. My other start's going to be Tyrann Tracy. I love the matchup, and I love him as a running back. He's looked really good. Only thing that makes me nervous with them is they're kind of starting to share again with him and Singletary. But I do like Tyrann Tracy this week because I think he's got New Orleans, and he should be able to run pretty good against them. So that's a good flex start, or like a low-end RB2 type running back.
I got you. All right, and that leads us into gambling men. All right, let's make some gambling bets.
Let's do it.
My top five picks for a parlay. I'm going to go with the Lions money line over the Packers just because I want to bet on my Lions to beat the Packers. And then Chargers to cover the 4-point spread against the Chiefs. They are the 4-point underdog right now against the Chiefs. Hit that. I would hit that all day, every day, any day. I believe the Chargers can cover that pretty easily. I think they're going to even beat them, to be honest, against the Chiefs. And then I got the Eagles 12-point spread over the Panthers. They are the 12-point favorites right now. I believe they win by 2 touchdowns.
I like it.
We'll say a touch. Yeah, 2 touchdowns. And then coming up, I believe it's tonight or tomorrow night, Blackhawks money line over the Bruins. The Bruins aren't playing that great of hockey lately, and the Blackhawks are just starting to go off. They nixed my parlay last time we did this. I picked the Panthers over the Blackhawks. No, Blackhawks came out and they beat the Panthers in prime time. It's crazy. And for number five, the Sharks money line over the Caps. The Sharks, I know they're not very attractive. They're not that good of a team, but they have found their skates, Kyle.
They have
found their skates, man. All their prospects are just finally going off. They're having a game. Yep. They're meshing with each other. They're putting up points. It's crazy. You gotta start buying in on the Sharks.
I think you do. Right, they're now starting to look better. Let's see.
That's my five picks for my parlay.
All right, let's do my top five picks. So just throw it out there. The last time, our last podcast, I was 4-1 on my picks, so I'm going to keep track of that. This top five picks.
I went 3-2.
See, we're winning. We're winning. If you didn't parlay them,
if you
separated,
parlayed them all together.
We're not necessarily saying do these five in one parlay. I'm just saying if you have.
No, I'm doing my five in a parlay. Like I said, I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
I still put money on them. I'm just saying, like, maybe I'll pick like two softies and then throw maybe one or two of these on there. These are just the bets that I like that you can add on to a parlay that you feel good on. I wouldn't necessarily do all of them. That's a lot of picks, right? That's five picks. That's hard to do.
I thought that's what this was all about.
No, I mean, it's more like I want to pick two easy picks, and I've got these tougher ones that people might not want to touch. Throw these on there because I feel comfortable about these. They're good to add onto a parlay. So mine, I agree with you. I think Detroit takes that over of that -3.5 over Green Bay, so I like the spread on that. I think Detroit wins, and I think they win by at least a touchdown, so I'll give them that. My next one is the Chargers versus the Chiefs. I'd like the over because I feel like this game screams defensive game, but I also think it's going to surprise people, and so many people are going to be hitting the under. I do think this game could be like a 24-23 type game, and that would hit your over a 42. So my next one will be the Cardinals. I think Cardinals are going to beat Seattle by 6, 7, 8 points. So they lost to them in Seattle a couple weeks ago, and I think they're going to get their revenge on them this week. So I like the -3 and the Cardinals. I like, for my fourth one, I do like Oregon over Penn State. So I'll take that spread of -3.5. That's not a lot, and I think Oregon could potentially beat them by like 2 touchdowns. I don't know if they will, but they could. So I like the -3.5 on Oregon.
They probably might.
I like making bets on these. Where, like, if I turn on the TV and I see that Oregon's beating Penn State 21-3, would I be surprised? Not really. So I like giving 3.5 points for Oregon to beat them. So I'll take that. My last one, I like the one for tonight, is Michigan versus Wisconsin basketball. I love the over of 150.5 points. Michigan's averaged I think, around like 85 points a game, 80 points a game. And Wisconsin's are right around that same stretch. And neither – I mean, Michigan does not play slow. So they're going to put up at least 70 points. So with the possibility of 75, 76, 80, I think this game gets that over that 80 – or that 150-point spread. And then that'll take me in.
I hear you on that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good parlay to me. I'll bet on all five of those.
I might have to touch that too just to try it out. We'll see. See if I'm feeling edgy. We'll go right into my top player props for the week. So they haven't released it yet, but whatever Trey McBride is on catches, smash the over. If I had to guess, it's probably going to be like 6-7 catches. He's been getting about 12, 13 targets a game the last like 4 or 5 weeks, and he's caught almost every single one of them. So it's safe to say he's probably going to get like 10 catches. So I would smash the over on his catches, unless it's something insane like it is 10 catches is the over-under. If it's around that 7 catches, I would take the over on it. My next one will be Jordan Love over 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think they're going to have to throw to keep up with the Lions. So I am going with Jordan Love to throw for 2, maybe 3 touchdowns. And then I'll go into my third player prop is I'm going to give Gibbs anytime touchdown because I don't think the Lions have to throw to beat the Packers. I think they could just use Gibbs or Montgomery. So I'll give it to Gibbs for an anytime touchdown.
I hear that. I'm going to raise you a Montgomery anytime touchdown. That's one of my top player props of the week. And then I've got Herbert over on the pass yards. I believe that whatever they put down for his pass yards, I'm just going to hit the
over. Yeah, I could see it.
Because
he's going to have to throw.
Like I said, he's going to probably have to throw a lot, or maybe even run with his own legs. I can see it happening either way. And then I got the Barkley over on rush yards against the Panthers. I believe that will be a good hit to make. Leading into the do not bet on it portion of our gambling men, do not bet on the 49ers-Bears game. Please don't do it.
Yep.
The Bears are atrocious.
It's going to be a tough one.
The 49ers are falling apart.
Yeah.
They've got too many injuries on both
sides. I don't even know who you would bet on at that point.
I mean, like, I would bet on the 49ers to win the game, but I wouldn't.
You think, but it would.
Money where my mouth
is. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears go out there and just win that game randomly.
Another team, I should say, to not bet on are the New York Rangers right now. They're not doing too hot. They had a pretty good start to their season the past week and a half. They haven't been doing too well. So if you feel like you want to bet on the other team that's playing the Rangers, go ahead, but don't bet on the Rangers.
Yep.
I want to do it. And then my final do not bet on the conference championship overs.
Yep, I actually agree with that.
I think every game is going to be more defensive than anything. That it's just going to be the unders. Like, just whatever conference championship you want to bet on the under. Yep. Just hit the under.
I agree with that.
I want
to
bet the
under. Yeah, because that takes me right to my first one. So my first don't bet on it is I put the over on the Penn State versus Oregon. The point itself is 49.5, so I don't even know if I would do the under. Like, I just wouldn't even almost touch that one because I could see Oregon's come out and blowing them out, and then your over is going to be shot because he's definitely going to hit the over if they go out and blow him out. But then I could see this game being maybe a low-scoring game, so I wouldn't even touch that one. It's going to be too hard to predict that game. My next one is going to be the SMU -2.5 over Clemson. Don't touch it because I do think Clemson's going to win this game. I just haven't been impressed with the SMU, so I would do the opposite. I would touch the Clemson 2.5 +2.5. But, yeah, I'd stay away from SMU beating Clemson here. And then my third one is the over on the Lions versus Packers of 51.5. We keep saying it's going to be a shootout. It's not more the over. It's more, again, I just don't want to touch the over-under on this one.
Yeah.
This game screams high-scoring shootout, but then I could literally wake up tomorrow and see that – or on Friday and see that game be 21-17. So I'd stay away from that over-under. Those games are harder to predict with the Lions-Packers.
I hear that because it's a big rivalry game. They know each other. They can take each other out. Yep. And guess what? That leads us into our Homeward Bound little segment here. And guess who's first on the docket, Kyle?
Lions and Packers.
Lions, Packers.
Let's do it.
Lions and Packers.
We've already hit it a bunch. I mean, Lions keep dominating. Packers just stay on their heels. They both look good. I mean, I think just Lions need to stay healthy because they have been getting hurt on their defense right now.
Yeah, that was one of my points. Lions just need to stay healthy and stay on their gears, dot their I's, cross their T's, be on their P's and Q's, all that stuff. Yep.
Packers look good. They just got to – yeah. I mean, Packers just have to keep winning and hope the Lions slip up. That's about it.
I got another homework thing that I kind of added into this part of the segment is the Panthers because we're here in North Carolina.
That's
they
fair.
They seem to be
The benching seemed to help Bryce Young. Yeah, the benching seemed to help Bryce Young. He's played a lot better since that benching. He actually looks like a usable quarterback in the NFL. So now it comes down to, like, what are they going to do in the draft? Are they going to draft a quarterback or are they going to just stick with Bryce Young now?
Because they kept it close in the past two games, and that was the Chiefs, and then they played
the Buccaneers in overtime.
The Buccaneers, yeah, like
he's looked good since the benching. He's looked good. Like, so I think the Panthers might kind of keep Bryce Young and use that draft pick for loading up some offensive linemen or something. So I guess we'll see, or go after some defense.
Yeah. And so that goes into, I believe the Panthers are going to be something to look at for the next season.
Yeah, I do too. I think they have hope now.
Anyways, Wolverines basketball, they're looking great. I mean, with the win over Xavier.
Yep.
And then they're having a good, stellar season so far. I mean, with one loss right now to Wake Forest is not great, but
– I fault them to turnovers. They were terrible with turnovers their first, like, five games. They were averaging, I think, like 19 turnovers a game, which is horrendous. These last three games, basically that tournament they just played in, they've only been averaging maybe like 12, which is back to normal, which you should be at. And they've looked amazing when they don't turn the ball over as much. So, yeah, that 25-point win against Xavier was huge. I love the transfer kids that have come in. And this team is really deep on the bench. They got a 10-man rotation, basically, which is hard to do in basketball, that they could start any of these 10 at any day against any team. So I do like them, and I hope they just continue to gel and continue to take care of the ball. Their first test will be – or not first test, but a first tough, tough, tough test will be tonight against Wisconsin.
I gotcha. And then so coming up here is some backpack basketball. Guess who they get to play?
Who they got?
The Kansas Jayhawks.
Oh, the good old Jayhawks. Always going to be tough.
It's going to be a tough season for the Pack basketball, but I think they have some potential. They've had a pretty good season so far. They obviously don't have some of those returners that helped them make that great run that they had last season in the ACC championship and then the NCAA tournament. But they seem to be not that far off from where they were last year, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, at least at this point in the season.
No, they still look okay. They still look decent.
Yeah. So I feel like they're going to be something to watch for, something to look at coming up in this basketball season. And then that leads us to some Tigers-Yankees because we didn't get to talk about
it. Yeah, we'll do a quick little bit.
I still want to talk about
it. Yeah, give it a
Scoop Ball, unanimous Cy Young Award winner.
Deserved. He was insane this whole year.
The Triple Crown winner.
Yep.
I mean, dude kept us going. He got us into the playoffs. He kept us going in the playoffs. Unfortunately, we lost to Cleveland, but it is what it is. And then Judge, your guy.
Yeah, Judge wants another
MVP.
Unanimous MVP. I mean, he was insane. I mean, there's not much you can say about him. It was his third MVP or second, third?
Yeah.
Or should be third. Been third. But, yeah, he's another great year. Couldn't finish it off in the World Series, but, I mean, what more can you ask from the dude? The dude, he's a monster at the plate.
And then going into hockey, we got some Red Wings again. I mean, Lalonde, what?
Good old Lalonde.
I mean, I probably shouldn't. Because you think he's going to be gone.
Yep, I think he's.
The Canes are Canes are what the Canes are, and they might be headed back to the playoffs, but I don't know what for what. I don't.
Yeah, Canes had a tough stretch here, and they actually finished out really good. I was impressed with their wins they had in this tough stretch, especially like playing Florida, I think, twice, and they had a tough couple games there, and they look good. So, again, yeah, I still think they're going to need to add somebody. I mean, the last game was a blowout by Florida, but I still think they're going to have to add some offense when it comes to the playoffs, because I feel like we said, it's like the same Canes team. They just reload with the same style of team, but they're still like that one missing superstar away from really going to that X level, like making it to the cup. So, yeah, I think they need to add another person. With the Red Wings, yeah, I think the Red Wings just need to go on a – they have to go on a streak here if Lalonde wants to keep his job. They got to string out three in a row, lose one, three in a row, lose one, like that kind of streak. Not necessarily win like eight games in a row, but like out of 10 yeah. games, win seven of them. Like that kind of streak he's going to have to keep his job. Otherwise, yeah, I think he's gone the next 2 weeks.
I hear that. All right, and that is our show. This has been This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Dobus.
And that's Kyle Dobus. Yeah. I was trying to.
I was waiting.
Let you say your own name.
I was gonna make you do it.
Well, the whole thing is we're supposed to say our own names. But anyways, this has been This and That. Hope you all enjoyed it. Make sure you like, subscribe, whatever we do.
Oh, yeah. You know, pieces.
All deuces.